Let us pray. Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Whenever you read the New Testament, you hear about Pharisees, and they are given a very bad press. Nobody likes the Pharisees. But the more I study about Pharisees, the more I like them. In fact, I would say that I'm a bona fide Pharisee. Do not judge me. And if we were to be honest, maybe a lot of us would say we're Pharisees. Pharisees were the good guys. Pharisees showed up in synagogues and temples. Pharisees taught the law. Pharisees tried to emulate the law. Pharisees also tried to keep the peace between Rome and the people. Pharisees were the good guys. And they tended to the kingdom of God, and they studied the word. And I can appreciate the Pharisees. They also taught from the prophets and the Psalms. They believed in the resurrection. They were the good guys. And they tried very hard to keep the people in line. When John the Baptist came along, this wild man in the wilderness, the Pharisees decided to take a trip to see him, probably to figure out if he was giving the right message. Because after all, the people were flocking to this man, and they wanted to be sure that he was giving a message that was proper and good. And so they came in a delegation. They did not come disrespectfully. They didn't come armed and saying, "We want to shut you down." They came looking to see what he would say. And what's the first thing out of John the Baptist's mouth when he sees this group of wonderful, good people? "You snakes." Well, let me tell you, if I went to a street preacher and he called me a snake or a viper, I wouldn't have a high opinion of him. So they were not pleased with John the Baptist. But then this Jesus fellow was even worse. Because at least John the Baptist confined himself to the wilderness. Jesus went to the synagogues and the temple, to their turf, and he preached. Now, they understood he was a good man. They understood he did good things, but he always did them at the most inopportune times, as if to poke his finger in their eyes. And so they were getting pretty frustrated with Jesus. And when the story opens up in the Bible, where the chief priests and the Pharisees, the elders, come to see Jesus, they ask him a question. What authority? Where did you get your training? Who can we quote? But really what they were asking is, who do you think you are coming in and teaching us and teaching the people? You can understand how distressed they were. And Jesus did not answer them. He didn't say, "Well, sit down, let me tell you about my Father in heaven. And let me tell you how I knew that God called me." He didn't say any of that. And the reason he didn't was because he understood that their minds were slammed shut. Whatever he said would not matter. Think about that. They had already made up their minds who Jesus was. And he wasn't their friend. And he wasn't their leader. And they wanted nothing to do with him. Their minds were slammed shut. How are our minds today? Are they opened or are they slammed shut? Do we know everything we need to know and we don't want to think about anything else? Or is there room for growth? If you look at social media, the people who jump on and give their opinions, their minds are slammed shut. They speak past each other, like the religious leaders of that day. Their minds are slammed shut. So Jesus instead gives them a question. He said, no, I'm not going to answer you, but if you answer this one, I'll answer you. And the minute he asked the question, they knew it was a trap. Because he asked, well, what do you think of John the Baptist? And they knew that if they said he was from God, that he would then say, well, then why didn't you follow him? And if they said, no, he was just another guy preaching his own message, the people would rebel because the people revered John the Baptist. So they said, we plead the fifth, we don't know. And he said, okay, then I'm not telling you. I just love that. Sometimes Jesus was rude. But then he goes on to give them a story about two young men, two sons. One was asked if he would go to the vineyard, and he said, no, I'm not going. But then he changed his mind, and he went and we worked. And the other son was asked, would you go to the vineyard? And he said, oh, yes, sir, and then proceeded not to do it. And as if the Pharisees and the chief priests would not know who he was talking about, he explained. He said, you're the son that's not doing what the father asked. And even so, the prostitutes and the tax collectors are going to get into the kingdom before you. Oh, that must have made them happy to hear. Now, this is where I have a problem, because these people would have felt that they were working in the vineyard. After all, they were in synagogue every day. They were doing all the things that the law commanded. And I would argue that they were in the vineyard, but their vineyard was very narrow and very small. They thought the vineyard was that synagogue or that temple, and the people who followed them, who acted the way they did. That was their vineyard. But any time Jesus talked about the vineyard, it was the world. It was the people outside their circles who desperately needed grace. And he said, those are the people that you need to be working with, and those are the people that you need to go to. That's why John the Baptist was raised up, so that the common people could come to him. And perhaps not the people that the Pharisees or the chief priests would even look at. How large is your vineyard? We come to this church and it's a wonderful thing. We have grace that's dispensed to us week after week. If we're sick, we are prayed for. If we're shut in, people will visit and will call. And we have this wonderful family of grace that we interact with every week. And think about it, when a baby is born, we rejoice, we take care of each other, we have all the benefits of grace here. This is part of the vineyard, but this is not the whole vineyard. There are people outside the walls of this church who might never enter. And God says, go work in the vineyard. William Booth, pastor in the 19th century, heard the call to work in the vineyard, and he was so passionate about his work, and he took it so seriously when Jesus said, you know, go to the prostitutes and the tax collectors, that he literally went to the street walkers in England and preached to them and invited them into his church. And so Sunday morning would come, and there was quite a motley crew sitting in the pews of his church. He was thrilled. The good people of his church were not. And so eventually he was tossed out, which was probably a very good thing, because he founded the Salvation Army, which ministers in the vineyard to this day. There are people outside the walls of this church that need grace spoken to them. I was invited to a dinner party recently, and the people that came I did not know, and as I was listening to their stories, it so impressed me about vineyard workers, because the host did not invite people that were like them, people who could reciprocate, but there was a young lady in the market that waited on them and took care of their groceries, and she was from another country, and they invited her to dinner. There was another young lady who helped them in another retail establishment, and they said, come to dinner. And they put on this fabulous spread. And I thought, that's what the kingdom, the vineyard workers, are about. They'll never come to this church. They can never repay that host. They were given grace by the workers in the vineyard. So tomorrow, after we have this wonderful service here in this beautiful setting, we go out and we dispense grace to the people that we meet, the workers at the Piggly Wiggly, the restaurant workers, all that are here in this village, and some have burdens that we can only imagine. Let us work in the vineyard and dispense grace everywhere we go. Let us pray. Lord, we are so grateful that your mercy and your grace does not only extend to us when we have our lives together and everything in place, but that your grace extends to all. And we ask that you give us the grace this week to be workers in your vineyard, to extend your love, your peace, your mercy to all whom we meet. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.